Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now, I am not reintroducing the idea of purgatory, but on the other hand, I do believe the baby was thrown out with the bathwater. With that came a belief, when you die, you're instantaneously and magically made perfect.
The soul of someone who dies immediately goes into eternity. There is no place where you make up for your sins. There is no purgatory. In the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If you like evangelical chicanery, don't you panic. It appears there's a new apostle on the block. This is Wretched Radio. I was not familiar with the woman named Catherine Crick. She's a self-proclaimed apostle, but the Christian Post ran an article, 6 Things to Know About Catherine Crick, who's a faith healer. So I decided to do more than just read about 6 things. I decided to do what we all do when it comes to doing deep and thorough research. I looked for some YouTube shorts. What did I discover? This woman, it's the same old, same old. I thought this trend was dead, but no, she's in business. And these people, you're not going to be able to see them because this is radio. You're not going to be able to see them shaking and twitching and flipping and flopping as she goes about the business of declaring.
Generational curse must be broken. And I declare every spirit of witchcraft.
Woman is shaking.
Every spirit that
trembling.
Torments you in the mind. It must go now in Jesus' name. Receive this fire.
Everybody's shaking. We're all shaking.
Every spirit of lack, every spirit of mental torment and death must leave on 3 in Jesus' name. 1, 2, 3. Be free completely.
Oh, she's just twitching and jerking.
Now.
Looks like a little Kundalini spirit to me.
And in turn, God has filled you with supernatural fire. God has filled you with the light of the world. God has filled you with the hope of Jesus Christ. God has filled you with his anointing.
Oh, they're falling down.
Powerful.
Oh, she's really flopping backwards. I thought the days of Benny knocking people out were done, but apparently Catherine Crick is keeping the fire burning. And I mean that. She's keeping the fire burning because she's all about the fire. She's all about the healing. She's all about apostolic revelations and declaring and proclaiming. And she's becoming a big deal. According to the Christian Post, she's the author of The Secret of the Anointing. She has a huge following. She's 33 years old. She attracts thousands. And I'm still looking at this YouTube short. They've all got the jerky, twitchy thing that the Kriyas. If you want to get creeped out, there's a video. Oh, who was this dude? He was a charismatic fellow from England. And he was so troubled by what he was seeing with these faith healings and driving out spirits and these people falling all over the place and doing those weird jerky motions and their heads shaking back and forth, shaking, their heads just shaking, and they're jerking and they're these severe movements. And so he did a compare and contrast with people like Catherine Crick and her meetings and Hindu meetings with the Kundalini spirit, and you could not tell one from the other. There's a spirit at work, but it isn't the Holy Spirit. This woman is a squarely in the center of what I know everybody rejects as the term New Apostolic Reformation movement, claiming there is no such thing, except for the fact that C. Peter Wagner created the term New Apostolic Reformation and led it. And there are still people that are rising up to be leaders in this new apostolic reformation movement. And this woman appears to be red hot. She's attracting thousands who seek healing, deliverance, or a spiritual encounter. This, if nothing else, perhaps we can learn something. Where do these people find a harvest field? What attracts folks to this supposed faith healer? What is it that they believe she has that they want? Why are people so willing? These are adults. I'm looking at these people, by the way, all women in this particular YouTube short. They seem to be, they've got manicures. Their hair is done. They're wearing nice clothing. Why is that woman mic'd up? The woman who's being delivered actually has a microphone cable coming out of her. Whatever's going on here. It's shenanigans and it's demonic. It's what it is. It's demonic. These things that are going on, it's either complete parlor tricks or it is satanic in nature. Why do these people go? I'm looking at the crowds. It's in a theater, like about a 2,000 seater, and mostly women. They've got their, you know, everybody's got their hands raised and they're trembling and they're shaking and they're jumping around. What are they looking for? Now, they're not going to find whatever it is with this woman who's a charlatan. She's a false teacher. But we would do well as a true church to ask the question, why do these people go looking to a woman like this? What is it they desire? Now, they might not be able to articulate it, but the Bible already informs us what they need. Their consciences are troubling them. Their lives are disappointing them. Most of their dreams have been dashed and shattered. They do not feel joy. And by the way, speaking of emotions, I was thinking about this. This is something I think that might be helpful for you. If you're always desiring to have a high, a spiritual high, I think this is a truism. You don't want one emotion all the time. You don't want to have one emotion. You don't want to be sad all the time, do you? Now, sadness isn't necessarily a sin. It's a part of the human experience. Sadness can be just fine and totally normal, but you don't want it all the time, do you? And I think the same thing is true for its 180 cousin, joy. Do you really want to just perpetually be like, hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo? No, I don't think it's not sustainable. These people, they're looking for that. They're wanting that because I don't think that they understand what the Christian composition is, what our emotional makeup should be, what our state of mind should be. I think they're looking for a buzz. They're looking for a spiritual high. They're looking, I think, for a quick fix to some of their problems. To get, it must be demon possession. So shake it out of me, Judy, and get me to feel better because they want better feelings. Now we want to be careful that we don't reject their desire for good feelings, but we need to educate them that feelings are tricky things. I think I mentioned yesterday, Brad Bigney's podcast, it's called Thrive. Baby, is he doing a fine job. It's marriage and parenting. It'll bless you. I don't even care if you're single, whatever. Just listen to this thing. It is so good. He was talking about love and our society's definition of love and how our society has determined this is what marriage should be, a perpetual woo-hoo. Everything amazing. It's just incredible. And he said, that's just not reality. It's just not reality. Love chooses to act. Love chooses to serve. Love chooses to do. And he talked about as you do that, as you act like Jesus, serving, not being served, but serving. And you do that through, I think he called it the mundane years, something, the middle years, the mundane years, where you're just... You know, you're not a whippersnapper anymore. Now you got kids and you got minivans and you got volleyball and you got meals and you got broken cars and you got a transportation and you got the job. It's just kind of a grind. But as you remain faithful to serving the other, guess what happens? A profound, deep, rich love grows out of serving. Out of doing grows the fruit of love. Now, most people don't understand that. The world certainly doesn't understand it, but nor do these individuals who come to a whiz-bang fest like this woman puts on to give people some sort of a buzz. They're desperate for it. And we don't want to reject emotions and we don't want to stop talking about feelings. We just don't want to make them the centerpiece. The centerpiece is Jesus. The centerpiece is truth. Out of that and being obedient will come these profound feelings of joy. But it's not going to be like, hey, wow, I woke up this morning and I've got so much joy. No, it's going to be a settledness. It's going to be a peace that surpasses all understanding. It will be a joy unspeakable, but not whoop-de-doo. It's going to be a calm. It's going to be a steady. And you're going to start to get other feelings like longings, not for temporal goods, but for earthly treasures. We want to make sure that we are the ones that are helping people understand emotions and affections, understand what the Christian life looks like and feels like and thinks like and emotes like. Because if we don't, I'm telling you, these charlatans, they're just not going to stop. Here's the six things to know about Catherine Crick. She's a self-appointed apostle. That should tell you everything you need to know. Nobody's self-appointed. Jesus has to appoint you. She's connected to a controversial figure, the Tanzanian prophet named Gior Davey, who faced serious allegations of sexual misconduct, but she calls him her spiritual father. Three, she's a sowing the seeder. She's a prosperity gospeler. She claims to have new revelations. Oh, here's an interesting one. Shocker. She has no formal theological background. She's moved here and there, and she wrote a song under the name Cat Crick, but she has no theological training, and yet she has 900,000 subscribers on her YouTube channel. Let's learn from her. This is Wretched Radio.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Giffert wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies.
So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends, all the stuff that doesn't matter. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Because it can. Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Picture this, 7 new pieces of content every single day. And I'm not talking clickbait or gossip. I'm talking real truth for real life. The app is already full of hundreds of hours of content. Again, completely free. And when I say free, I mean free. I don't mean hidden costs and temporary trials and premium tiers. No subscription traps at all. Because while everyone else all over the world is selling you something, we are giving something away. Fortis Plus. Download it right now where you download your apps, or just go to fortisplus.org, because what feeds your mind shapes your life. Truth. It's meant to travel far. It's meant to reach deep. It's meant to change lives. But for far too long, even the best biblical teaching has faced barriers, paywalls, price tags, limited access. And at Fortis Institute, well, we've been thinking differently recently. What if we could break through all of those barriers? That's why we're launching our Truth Unhindered initiative. We have extraordinary plans for the end of 2025, plans that will transform how pastors and families and seekers access life-changing teaching. But to make this vision a reality, we need you now more than ever. Right now, going on through June 30th, every dollar you give will be doubled up to $250,000. Double the impact, double the reach, double the transformation. Visit fortisinstitute.org/truth today, because when truth breaks through barriers, lives are never the same. fortisinstitute.org/truth.
Know your church fathers. Athanasius was the Bishop of Alexandria in the 4th century. He was a champion of the Church's fight against Arianism and was a chief author of the Nicene Creed. However, his orthodoxy did not equal popularity. Athanasius was exiled no less than 5 times, but Athanasius chose to honor God instead of man.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, Jimmy!
Yes?
Would you be kind enough to call me sexist?
Oh, sure. You're sexist, Todd.
Well, now that we got that out of the way, let's carry on, shall we? This is Wretched Radio. This is my lived experience. You know what that means, don't you? I just put up a shield. Any arrow that you sling my way gets blocked. Why? Because what I'm about to say is my lived experience, and you can't criticize that. Jimmy, look at me. That's some of the lingo that's being used today. Hey.
I'm impressed.
I know what is obvious to the eye, but my lived experience says, oh, well, okay. As long as your lived experience experienced it, then I guess it must be okay. So, ha, this is my lived experience. What you're about to hear gives me the shudders. I don't know what the medical term is for the reflex. When your shoulder goes up to your ears, but every time I hear a female preacher, I have that physical medical response.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
What's the matter, Jimmy?
I'm counting the points of her sermon.
Hallelujah!
How many points?
Praise God.
That's 11.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh. Hallelujah. That will never happen again. What you went through, it will never happen again. You are free, you are healed, and you are covered by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God.
That just, I'm sorry. There's something inside of me that is a reflex action to that just makes me shudder on the inside. Am I being sexist? I suppose it's possible, but maybe there are other men who respond the same way because a woman isn't supposed to be playing this role. It is as unnatural as any of the current pride movements you see these days. This is not natural.
Miracle after miracle. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Oh, boy, that's her favorite word. Actually, there's 2 favorite words there. Hallelujah. How many are we up? How many points in the sermon?
15 right
okay,
now.
Okay, 15 point hallelujah sermon. And miracles. She believes in miracles. No. Yeah, is that how that song goes?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that's about as much of that song as you want to sing. I'm believing. No, is that how it went? It was Wild Cherry, I think, that sang that song.
You remember.
That's tragically. She loves miracles. That's the MOI of the NAR. Let me translate that for you. The New Apostolic Reformation movement. It is unfortunately alive and well. I was really hoping it had abated. I was sort of hoping the kookiness had kind of gone underground a little bit and it was starting to calm down and maybe, just maybe, they'd start preaching the gospel and preaching the Bible rightly. But this new apostle, Catherine Crick, she's all about the miracles.
This is a house of miracles here. Glory to God. And he's going to do it again today for whoever is in need.
More. Got to tell you, this woman should cause a little righteous anger to be bubbling up inside of you. Now, you can't see the audience, but I'm looking at the audience. That woman in the front, she's got her mouth agape. This woman, it looks like she's maybe drying the tears. There's a dude. All right, I'm seeing about 40 women and maybe 5 dudes. And the one dude, he's definitely covering his eyes and like drying his eyes from tears. These people come hurting. They come needy. They just don't know better. They're desperate, whether it's emotional help, spiritual clarity, or physical healing. And she comes and she goes on for 2 hours, 57 minutes is this Sunday morning service. They have to be that long in order to get the air right so that people will fall down and twitch and shake and flop and tremble and then say, yeah, I feel great. Thanks very much, because I'm experiencing my miracle. This should make us angry.
Our miracles. Thank you, Lord. Well, I'm going to go into the word right now. Are you ready for the word of God?
Yeah, that'd be nice. This is causing my shoulders to go up again.
I'm teaching today. The title of this message is About the Father's Business. I forgot it was Father's Day when I came up with this message, when God gave me this message. This is a perfect prophetic message about the Father's business. Jesus says, Luke 2:49, and he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?"
Yeah.
I must be about my Father's business, Jesus.
I'm sorry.
For what?
That just rubs me the wrong way. It just isn't right. And these people, just in case you're totally angry at me for judging this woman, but remember, my judgment is merely my lived experience. It is that these people are harmed by this. God's word is mangled. His character is misrepresented. And the people who come desperate find themselves leaving probably in a worse state than they arrived. This is the New Apostolic Reformation movement. I was hoping it had maybe just kind of quietly whimpered away into the night. But this new apostle who has, now I'm looking at her subscribers, 988,000 subscribers. This woman's a false teacher. And she's joined by others like Rick Joyner, who has decided it's time for a man who sexually abused 17 women, including minors, and would then pray for them. It's time for him to be back in ministry. Why? Because he's too great of a leader to be thrown away. Well, throw him away. That type of language is to miss the point. How's about when you molest 17 women, including minors, you're not qualified? You've thrown yourself away. You've thrown the privilege of being an elder away. And now Rick Joyner, Mr. NAR, wants this fellow. And the reason that I'm even hesitating to talk about the fellow who did the 17 crimes, or against probably more, but against 17 women, we haven't talked about this story because it's just another salacious tale of a man who claims to be a representative of God, who did tawdry things behind the scenes. In other words, total false convert, total false teacher, total hypocrite, prayed with them after sexually assaulting them. Ooh. So I left the story alone. And the reason I'm bringing it up, and I think I'll keep his name out of it still, because I don't like just trafficking in trash like this, but Rick Joyner, the New Apostolic Reformation movement leader, is in our sights. He wants him restored. Why? Well, this was a big deal. We don't want to throw him away, do we? He messed up, said Rick Joyner. He messed up. Hey, Jimmy, on my way into work today, There were these school kids crossing the street. I saw them.
Mm-hmm.
I ran him over.
You messed up.
Oh, whew. Good. So I'm good to go then, apparently, because I just messed up.
Just take a Sunday off.
It's going to take a while for the body of Christ to fully trust him again, but I believe they will. It has nothing to do with trust. It has everything to do with qualifications. If you do that, you're not qualified to be an elder. But that doesn't stop the New Apostolic Reformation. Todd Bentley is back in business. This guy's been restored. They all get restored after a period of whatever they call it. I believe there's going to be a change, but we can't just throw away great people like that. We don't throw them away. They disqualify themselves. Now they need to make a profession of faith and sit underneath the authority of qualified elders in the context of a local church. Listen to how they handle the word. We're told in Galatians 6:1, if a man is caught in any trespass, anything, you who are spiritual, restore them. See? So this guy who molested 17 women, he can be restored because of what Galatians 6:1 says, except it doesn't say that about restoring a pastor who is disqualified to let him return to ministry. This is about somebody, a believer, who's caught in a trap. We try to get them out. And how do we do it, by the way? Gently, so that we ourselves don't get trapped. This has nothing to do with a pastor who has biffed it. Quote, restoration or going through discipline, all that stuff, it's not punishment. It's just helping close the gaps, the gates of hell, where hell got into your life. It's for discipline, sure, but discipline in the right sense, where we are so disciplined, those things can't trip us up again. I have that hope for everybody. And you say, did you get hit in the head? Did you read that right? Yeah, I read it right. It's what he said. It's gobbledygook. It's nonsense. And sadly, it appears the NAR is still flourishing. And I don't know of any other response but righteous indignation and pity for these poor people that they are harming. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. So President Trump dropped his Father's Day proclamation on Friday of last week. America's fathers are the custodians of our strength, the leaders of our families, and the protectors of our security and safety. That's a quote. Pretty refreshing to read something that doesn't apologize for masculinity. And the fact that fathers being celebrated feels newsworthy tells you everything about exactly where this country has been. Speaking of getting back to normal, Trump just torched California's electric vehicle mandates, signed 3 congressional resolutions last week that basically tell California they cannot force the whole country to buy cars nobody wants by 2035. And to Disney, who has managed to pretty much upset literally everyone with their Lilo and Stitch remake. You remember the original Lilo and Stitch? Ohana means family. Family means nobody gets left behind. Well, the live-action version has Nani just leaving, and people are losing their minds on social media. Honestly, maybe they should be. You've got the story about sacrifice and family loyalty. Disney decides what it really needs is more personal ambition. A former Disney employee told the Daily Wire there was an abrupt shift around 2020 when the company stopped caring what audiences actually wanted and decided they needed to start educating people. Now, here's something that's probably going to make you sick. This whole U.S. aid bribery thing, $500 million worth. That's right. Roderick Watson, who was supposed to be some kind of public servant, admits to steering contracts worth $544 million to his buddies in exchange for over $1 million in bribes. And the kicker is it all worked because of these racial set-aside laws that let government contractors skip the whole competitive bidding thing if they were the right skin color. It was all just a front for looting the taxpayer. While we're talking about lawlessness, masked Antifa thugs surrounded the ICE office in Seattle last week with federal agents and detained illegal aliens trapped inside. Not kidding, they used stolen no parking signs to blockade the building. Federal police had to deploy tear gas just to get the vehicles out. Somehow, though, the media calling it mostly peaceful. And finally today, 40 Days for Life, a pro-life organization, is asking Trump officials to step in and protect access to the hormone that can reverse abortion pills when women change their minds. New York's Letitia James and California's Rob Bonta are going after pregnancy centers using consumer protection laws, claiming it's false advertising to tell women they might be able to save their pregnancies. And the irony is that these are pro-choice states literally suing people for giving women more choices. And that is today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can also subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. Galatians was written by Paul to the churches he planted in the region of Galatia, in modern-day Turkey, where a form of legalism was threatening the gospel. Paul insists that salvation is by grace through faith, and to rely on the law is to deny the gospel. In the gospel, God has once for all declared us righteous on the basis of Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The church bells aren't ringing for me, my gal, or the lovely borough of M-Y-T-H-O-L-M-R-O-Y-D. We all know how that's pronounced. This is Wretched Radio. 4,000 people used to enjoy St. Michael's Anglican Church bells dinging and donging every quarter hour. And now, because of the complaints of, count them, three whole people, the city council said you got to zip it between 11 p.m. and 7 a.m., which raises our first question. Jimmy, let's say that you're the Anglican priest.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just kind of mind-boggling. You're the Anglican priest of St. Michael's. The government shows up at your church door and says, you got to zip the bells between 11 p.m. and 7 a.m. Do you obey?
I don't want to,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think I have a biblical standing not to.
So you're woke.
No. where did you say this was located?
You know.
I look, Mithumroyd.
Is that how you say it?
Yeah, I looked it up.
M-Y-T-H-O-L-M. Mithumroyd? Oh, that sounds about right.
Yeah, that's it.
In West Yorkshire. Well, I didn't want to offend anybody from Mithumroyd who might be listening. Okay, probably wouldn't offend a soul. The point is, they come to your door and they say, shut it down, and you would obey.
I think you would have to.
Okay, so you like Russell Moore. That's what I'm hearing from this.
No.
In order for a church to say, sorry, Mr. Caesar, we love to be good citizens, but we cannot obey you in this regard. If you have a clear teaching from the Bible that says to obey Caesar would be a sin against God, or if Caesar said you must do something that God forbids, then the church, it's a jurisdictional issue. The government cannot tell the church how to do ecclesiastical things. They cannot speak into our theology, nor can they dictate our practice when it comes to theological issues. And so if you can make the case that it is a sin against your conscience or a sin against God somehow, that the bells have to ring on the quarter of an hour, Jimmy was right.
What? I didn't hear you. What'd you say?
Go get back to reading Christianity Today.
Okay.
Middle road person. 19th century church. 4,000 people. Three people complain. They shut it down. So they're no longer going to be hearing this beautiful sound. I love that. Okay, I guess this is cultural, maybe. Maybe it's objective. This to me is beautiful. The Islamic call to worship? Oof. Okay, here's our second question. Who needs to... I love church bells as much as the next guy. I'm actually playing this off of the YouTube machine. It is 1 hour and 1 minute of this. Has anybody ever said, honey, let's go listen to a video of bells ringing for 60 minutes. Anybody's who, what? And guess what? It's got 22,000 views after 8 months. I love church bells. But you know what? There's a lost art. Church handbells. Anybody still doing that? Maybe a few very conservative Lutheran churches. But the old handbell, remember that at Christmas time? How lovely that was. Gone, gone, gone. And so is the bell ringing, at least for 8 hours, in what Jimmy said, in West Yorkshire. This, to me, is a sign of the times. And I think it represents more of a bummer than probably what meets the eye. Let me take you to southern Italy. Why? Because that is where the church bell was actually invented. This was in the 4th century. Paulinus of Nola in Campania, which means bell. And that's why they actually call these, sometimes instead of saying these are church bells, I think they call them the Campanella because they're from Campania. See what they did there? And they were originally created to call people to worship. Hey, time to get to church. Because this was the loudest sound that could be made in a village, and to reach people that might be out farming, they would ring the church bells, which basically said, come on, y'all. They began to appear later around the 6th to 8th centuries. Christianity is spreading, architecture more sophisticated, and more bells began to proliferate and dot the landscape of Western civilization. They were used for call to worship, prayer, mass, Catholic and Anglican, Vesper services, and for timekeeping, because everybody couldn't look at their cell phone to check the time. They didn't have timekeeping pieces, and so the church bells served in that role. It marked the hours for monasteries, for the liturgy, including matins, lauds, all the different times that they have to get together in order to earn their way to heaven. It helped to structure the day so everything ran on time in the monasteries. Furthermore, the reason for the proliferation of church bells, spiritual symbolism. This sounds a little bibbidi-bobbidi-boo-y. Bells were believed to carry spiritual power. Many Christians thought the sound of church bells could drive away demons and storms. Ugh, that is so ridiculous. The only thing that drives away demons are bagpipes. Come on, people. It was believed to sanctify the air, and then it would remind people of God's presence and call them to repentance. That's not a bad thing, is it? How many times a day should you pray? How many times a day should you stop and talk to God? And the correct answer, I think, is as many times as you want to. He doesn't want you on some regimented system. But wouldn't it be nice to have a reminder, hey, those bells that are dinging from church. Church is God's house. It would serve as a reminder to do some of that praying. It's not going to be done for 8 hours. And architectural and evangelistic statement is another reason that the church bell proliferated. It was central to the town or the village. And every time the bells would ring, it was a reminder, hey, we're a bunch of Christian folks that live in this here place. But it also brought about what they call community cohesion. Yes, it marked times for work, rest, emergencies. This was the PSA. Instead of that horrible, interrupted. That was sort of like the call to worship in an Islamic mosque, isn't it? This is a test. No, they would ring the church bells. Something's wrong. This isn't the right time for the church bells. Maybe people need help, and they would gather together to help their neighbors. In many towns, the church bell was the loudest and most far-reaching sound. And now it's going to be silenced for 8 hours. And I suspect if anybody else complains, they'll shut it down completely. And I realize we live in a different age, but it seems to me this is one more thing that is being deconstructed in our society. It seems that everything that we used to have in place for human interaction, human unity, human enjoyment of one another is being ripped away. This happens, I think, a lot in commerce. I don't even need to go to a store anymore. I go to Amazon, press play. Hey, it's going to be here in 8 minutes. Wow, that's pretty. It's as if they knew that I was going to order that stuff. I don't need to see them. They drop it at the door. I pick it up. And by the way, are the environmentalists onto Amazon? Because I got to tell you, it takes a lot of trees to get something delivered to our home. And I don't have to talk to anybody. And so that interaction is gone. You go to our restaurant, now you can order on the screen. You don't have to talk to a human being. You work from home, not with people. You see people on your cell phone, but you don't have to actually get along with them. You can pick and choose as you please. What does it do? It divides. And I know we're living in a different time. And I know this probably isn't apocalyptic, but it seems that church bells ringing brought people together. This is our town. It's our church. Those are our bells. That's our tradition. And it's gone. And I think that it is another shared thing has been deconstructed because we are living in a time where division and separation, and I'm not just talking about culture, I'm talking about the church. We are such a fractured society. And while I suppose the cute little village in West Yorkshire will continue to carry on, they're going to be doing it at least for a third of the day without a thing that unites. In fact, I'll make a prediction. It's going to continue to divide. Because somebody is going to complain, hey, I'm trying to work and I'm making phone calls and it bugs me. So shut down the bells. Okay. All right. If that's what this society insists on, but I think it's another reminder. We are living in a time where we don't have shared stuff. Pride in country, our community, our team, all of it. Our politician, our institutions, and church bells are going to stop ringing. While I don't think it's the end of the world, I think it's a sign of the times, and it ain't a good one. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink, but what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this, you're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young man struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work, it's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know what's remarkable? Currently, right now, at this present time, there are over 4 million podcasts in production. And something unexpected has happened. Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, 3 of them in the top 2%. Now, we're not here to shout from the rooftops about rankings. We're actually here because truth matters. For 25 years, we've been steadfast. First as Wretched Radio, then as Gospel Partners Media, now standing firm as Fortis Institute, Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Gifford, John Krotz, Libby Lawson, real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app. Completely free. Hundreds of hours of content already there. Absolutely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at FortisInstitute.org, because we truly believe the church deserves better. FortisInstitute.org.
Lexicon.
There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like plenary verbal inspiration. God inspired every word of Scripture, guiding the human authors as they wrote without violating each man's personality and writing style. In the Bible, we have the very Word of God.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Todd? Hey, Todd.
What?
Are you going to start? We started.
Can I just sit and listen to my Spotify?
For the next 8 hours?
It's only 6.
Okay.
This is Wretched Radio. Hey, speaking of Spotify, when you're done listening to church bells ringing, please, I encourage you, I'm imploring you, go check out the Fortis Fellows podcasts. They are so edifying. They are so helpful. They are so instructive. They are so practical. And honestly, they're so good. Just from a production standpoint, I'm telling you, I think these are just super fine. I don't know who's producing them because I'd never want to acknowledge it to his face, but they are so good. Even the announcer guy.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty good job. Brad Bigney's podcast on marriage and parenting. It's called Thrive. Go look for it. Honestly, hey, church bells are nice. Thrive is better. You've got Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson. You're a Gen Zer. Go listen to it. Stop with the, what do they call it? It's the manhood thing that Andrew, the manosphere. If, as I understand it, I could have this wrong, but the manosphere is this online culture of brohams that are getting together to be like really tough and stuff. And to be strong and obnoxious because they're so desperate to find some sort of an adult male role model who isn't all sissified. And they're flocking to guys that aren't helpful. Adam Tyson is helpful. It's called Way of Manhood. How's about Libby Glosson? Who's a little busy right now. She's got a son that's getting married. So she is, Jeff, she's... That is going to be a long service. I'm just telling you.
She's going to hear the church bells.
The sermon is going to go on and on and on.
You're going to do it.
Pretty much what I'm going to be doing. Her podcast is called Thrive. No, Way of Manhood. No, The Better Way. That's the one. Well, there's so many of them. The Better Way. It's for women. Dudes, you can listen if you want to, but it is stellar. I'm telling you. She is going to have an impact on the evangelical community because she's not, what's the word I'm looking for, Beth Moore? This woman is serious. She's sharp as a tack, theologically sound, oh so practical. And it is such a helpful, I have become a better woman because of it. It's called The Better Way. Who am I, you got Greg Gifford, Transformed. That's awesome. What am I missing?
John Crotts.
John Crotts, integrated. Hey, guess what? Mm. John's going to preach at our church.
Oh, he is.
Alpharetta Bible Church. Mm. John is going to, he's coming up to do an in studio thing. And it's going to be, I think it's about the Holy Spirit is what he's doing. Wouldn't it be nice to have a nice little compact teaching, a systemization of pneumatology to understand the role of the Holy Spirit and our interaction with him and the role that he plays in our lives and what he desires. And it's not to shine the spotlight on himself. That's John Crotts. He's going to be doing that resource. And then he's going to be preaching. I think it's August 3rd, something like that. I see you moving the thing around.
Okay,
Jimmy.
I'm just making sure.
It's like a nap. Honestly. I even nodded at you.
Okay, I didn't see that.
I got it.
Okay.
As I was saying, August 3rd, John Crotts will be at Alpharetta Bible. Well, you couldn't stop yourself. You're like you're playing Pong in there. We got a screen and it's got stuff printed on there. And I can see Jimmy's mush. And I can, these are some sound files. And then it says, Truth Unhindered, match campaign through 6:30, FortisInstitute.org/truth.
Yeah.
And apparently you didn't want me to miss it, so you keep it zipping around the screen, and I'm like swatting away at it like it's a horsefly that won't leave me alone. I got it already, the Truth Unhindered campaign. If you'd be so kind to consider joining a match campaign dollar for dollar so that we can close the store. In fact, could I even encourage you to go a step further? If you would like to help us give away all of our resources, we give away all the stuff on the Fortis Plus app, but I'm talking about the store resources. We're closing the store. We're going to give them all away around the globe. And we've got a way that we are going to get them into, well, even not so good churches. That's a great campaign. I'm telling you, we've got more coming. We have got some things loaded that we are going to start firing this fall. That you're going to be hearing about. Okay, this summer, we're doing the Play the Man push. We're giving away these cards so that you can give away the gospel with a message about pornography to university men. It's an opportunity for evangelism. We send them for free. You just be the hands and feet. And let's see if we can get some kids saved and pulled out of that mire called pornography. And then this fall, we got more stuff coming that I can't tell you about, but I share this to maybe encourage you possibly to become a partner who partners with us regularly, like monthly. You can do that with whatever button you need to push at Truth Unhinged. No, Truth Fortis in. Jimmy, could you move that thing for me so I can see it?
Yeah, you need to see it.
Yeah, Fortis, there it is. FortisInstitute.org/truth. FortisInstitute.org/truth. I don't even know what I'm supposed to be talking about at this point.
You hired me to be annoying.
Well, let me tell you, we are getting our money's worth. You are a good deal.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to tell you right now, let's try to answer the question that I raised 2 weeks ago. This one, I think it's pretty easy. On the other hand, I understand why there's a tug in the opposite direction, but I think we've got biblical clarity on this issue. Do you recall? I think it was on a Friday. I said, just think about this. Catholic bishops in Washington are now suing the state because the law requires clergy to report child abuse. What would you do? There's enough, Jimmy. So that you're doing biblical counseling, and somebody admits to you that they have been abusing children. You want to maintain confidentiality, but
yeah, not in that case.
Well, wait a second. So you lied to them? Well, they can't trust you?
No.
Well, that's the argument.
Yeah.
And the Catholic Church is saying, hey, if we're forced to report child molestation, it's the whole confessional box is going to be destroyed. People aren't going to trust their priests, and they're not going to go get help. Is that a possibility? Yes, it's a possibility. So how do we find clarity on this? And I think that it comes from protecting and being strong, and jurisdictional realms. We are commanded to protect the least of these. If somebody confides in you that they're committing a crime, that just immediately moves it from an ecclesiastical realm. You're now dealing with a legal issue. This is not a distinction I'm making. This is a biblical distinction. You have at least three. You could argue easily five different realms of authority. The two that aren't explicitly stated, but I think implied, are work, where you've got yourself somebody who is in authority and somebody who isn't in authority, and you have to obey those rules inside of that realm. I think you see that in the education realm. You've got somebody in authority and you've got to obey those rules, but those aren't the ones that are spelled out explicitly for us. In the Bible, you see three realms: family, church, state. And they all have authority, but it is a limited authority. What is the authority of the government? It is the sword to punish evildoers. So when somebody in your church commits a crime, you are not the one who is betraying a trust. You are doing what is legal and right and protecting somebody who is vulnerable or who has been harmed. Now, I get it. You're concerned about confidentiality. Might it be that a pedophile who is abusing children might not come to you for counseling? Yep. Yep. But I say, so be it. Because we must defend these little ones. And this is not betraying a confidence because they've done something illegal outside of this realm. This realm, I'm keeping a confidence for you. I'm not going to discuss all of these things. You do something illegal, different deal, different realm. And I have a responsibility because I also happen to be a member of that realm to report it. So maybe if you're a biblical counselor and this is a dilemma, maybe let somebody know before you begin counseling them. If somebody comes to you and says, hey, can you keep a confidence? You can say, hey, as long as what you're sharing isn't a crime, you have my confidence. But if it is a crime, you don't. Would you still like to talk? And if somebody leaves your counseling room, I get it. It's like, oh, I want to help the person. But that isn't the primary responsibility. The primary responsibility is the protection of the vulnerable one and participating in the realms of authority that God himself has laid down. So, Jimmy, question.
Okay.
Somebody comes to you, admits that they are a child abuser. You going to report it?
Yeah.
No qualms.
No qualms.
So you agree with me. Idea at wretched.org if you don't. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.